sure looks like movies are coming to the iTunes Music Store.
We've got an interview with Vern Seward.
Apple and Creative settle their lawsuits.
And Tim's All Wet, My Mac Podcast 96.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com Podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
And as Chad and I start out MyMac Podcast number 96, we're exactly 1 month away from our 100th show, which we are recording live in Grand Rapids, Michigan at the Woodland Mall Apple Store on September 23rd.
At 3 p.m.
And I hope to see a lot of you there. It's going to be really cool. And I'll talk about some of the free giveaways that I've already confirmed and having my grubby, well, now they're actually clean now.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, we got some really cool stuff that's coming up for that 100th episode. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a two-parter episode, obviously.
Yeah. But please show up. I think you're going to have a good time. You're going to have a chance to meet Tim and Guy at the very least.
Guy Searle will be there.
Yep, Guy Searle will be there of the Dashboard Minute fame and soon-to-be Not Mac News fame.
That's right. It's going to be pretty fun and... Well, I'm going to come right out and say, let's just go ahead and talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Microsoft and us have been working closely for quite a while now.
Yeah.
They've given away products on our podcast in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of product reviews of Microsoft. And, you know, I think they get probably a bad rap in the Mac community.
Yeah.
Sometimes for reasons that's obvious. Sometimes I think it's just... zealots that they have to have a target to shoot at.
Sure.
And Microsoft is probably the biggest and most convenient target in the tech industry.
Mm-hmm.
So people kind of take pop shots, whether it's fair or not, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But both you and I use Microsoft products every day. I mean, neither one of us can really get through a day without using Office.
Right.
Well, Office 2004 for the Mac is, what, $399?
That's correct.
We're going to give away a boxed copy. It's sitting in my trunk right now.
Cool.
Office 2004 for the Mac at the 100th podcast. Microsoft sent me a copy. So it's ready to go. It's a standard edition,
mm-hmm.
$399. Somebody in Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 23rd gets to take that home with them.
That's great.
It's not a contest. It's
just a giveaway.
It's just a giveaway. We're going to be giving them away randomly to people at mm-hmm. the Apple Store. They also sent, which is also nice, the Microsoft Wireless Laser Desktop for Mac. That's a keyboard and a mouse set. That's a $100 value. They sent two.
Wow.
So
that's also very generous.
Yeah.
I happen to have it, and I use it, and I enjoy it. Tim has a different opinion of it, but
That's $600 worth of just Microsoft products we're giving away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Well, actually, it's closer to $800.
Well, no,
600.
$600,
right,
yeah, because
you did the math, I didn't.
The keyboard and the mouse is $100.
Bucks, yeah.
So that, and we have two of them, so that's $200.
So $600 worth of Microsoft swag.
And
just
we've
to start
got
with.
More stuff, too.
Yep.
We have a couple iPod cases, some Griffin Technology items. We've got, and I'm not done.
Mm-hmm.
I plan on going to a few other companies, seeing if they want to participate,
yep.
And we're
going
to have more stuff to give away. Now, obviously, I wish that we could do the show live, as in you tune in at this time and you can hear the show and call in. And, you know, that's actually what I would love to be able to do with this podcast every time, but it's just not feasible.
Right.
And so when we say we're recording live, that means in front of a studio audience, although it's not a studio, it's in front of a store audience. Where 95% of the people will be there to browse or maybe buy an iPod or something or a Mac, and they won't even know who the heck we are.
Yeah.
They'll be like, who are these guys over here with a microphone and yakking? And I'll say, hey, want to free something? Oh, yeah. I listen to your show all the time. What was your name again?
And so, what's your name of your podcast? That's my favorite.
That's my favorite. Yeah. And I was an early listener. Anyway, so that's, you know... All told, if you add everything up so far, we do have about $800 worth of merchandise we are going to be giving away.
Cool.
I hope that Apple's not expecting to sell a copy of Office while we're there, because obviously no one's going to want to buy a copy if there's an opportunity to get a free one.
That's right.
or the Microsoft keyboard and mouse for
or
the Mac.
Any really, well, they may not carry some of the cool iPod cases you're going to have.
That's right. So, well, I know one of them is going to be really cool, and I'm looking forward to it. So that's what's coming up on September 23rd, 1 month from today. We're also going to do an interview with Dan Knight. He is the publisher of Low End Mac. Mm. He actually lives in Grand Rapids.
Yep.
I've contacted him. He's confirmed we're good to go. So excellent. That's what's coming up in 1 month from now.
So now you're up to date on what's going on a month from now. What happened today?
Well, it's not just today. It's basically the last week has been the week from hell. It started last week. If you remember on the last podcast, I was down as far as my internet connection goes.
Right.
They said they were going to send someone out Sunday. Well, Saturday night, my internet starts working again just fine. Mm-hmm. So when the tech guy from Comcast calls...
We aren't naming names here.
I don't want to say who. Comcast is my provider, but it's a big Comcast media company that, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he calls Sunday and says, you know, I'm calling to make sure you still need me. And I said, no, it's working fine now. Hmm. So obviously the problem... wasn't on my side. Who would have thunk? Durr. Then, on Monday morning, we go outside to leave, my wife and I. She gets in her car with the two of the kids. I get in mine. Her car's dead.
Hmm.
Completely dead.
Great.
And, I'm sorry. No, we found that out Sunday night. Let me back up. That her car was dead. Mm-hmm. I put a battery charger on it, because I figured the battery was probably dead. That's what it was kind of acting like. Didn't help. At all. So I took Monday off from work to fix her car, and it turned out it was just the battery, but it had a bad cell, so it wouldn't take a charge.
Right.
So I got that working, and since I took the day off anyways, and I had one of the kids with me, the littlest one still went to the babysitter, but I kept the 11-year-old with me, Brittany, and I said, you know, there's a soft water conditioner in our basement that's older than my house itself, and I've been wanting to get it out. But the problem was, the genius who put it in before the water shutoff valve. I couldn't figure out how they did that for the longest time. I'm like, how did you put this in here without turning off the water? But sure enough, the turnoff valve is after that. So the water comes into the house, immediately goes to that.
Yeah.
So how do you turn off the water to get rid of it? I never knew.
Yeah.
Well, they had to put a new water meter into my house about 8 months ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me a trap door hidden compartment in my basement I didn't even know about. And there was another water cutoff. So I was like, sweet. So I turned off the water to my house yesterday, Monday, and I got rid of that. But in the process of getting rid of that, I had to rerun the water lines.
Right.
Copper line, I had to, you know, sweat it in and all that. It took me all day, pretty much. And I probably laid 25 feet, maybe even 30 feet of copper water line. That's bends, tees, the whole nine yards. Got completely done with it, turned back on the water, and it leaked at one elbow, which that's not bad.
Right.
It shouldn't have been any, but... And that was actually the elbow I didn't think would leak. I thought it was going to leak in one of two of these other places that I was kind of iffy about, and the one that I wasn't even concerned with is the one that leaks.
Right.
So how do you fix that? It's already got water in the line. You know, you can't have any water in the pipe at all, otherwise sweating in is not going to work.
Right.
So I ended up making a brand new one. I cut the old one out and I put this one in. And I found a tip online that really, really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sweat if there's water still dripping. Even if it's just a little bit, it'll mess up you putting in and you just can't do it. So how do you get the water to stop dripping while you're trying to sweat the pipe in? How do you do that? Take white bread. Roll it up in a ball.
I've heard this trick.
And stick it up in the it worked great. I couldn't believe it. All this time, I could have been done with that job hours before had I known that trick. So this is a little tip, a Macintosh tip for you. It has to be white bread, by the way. So that worked. So I got all the new pipe in, or water line in. Everything is going great. My water pressure is just the same as it was. Mm-hmm. New line. I'm happy.
Yep.
Nothing bad happens on Tuesday to me, except Monday, my cable goes out again.
Mm.
And I'll talk about that some other time in my conversation with Comcast, because I'm just not prepared to talk about it because I'm still ticked off about it.
Yeah.
It came back up later in the day, but... Anyways, so today, I wake up, My wife has decided to take the day off to take our daughter to the eye doctor because she's been having headaches lately. And
probably
sure enough,
glasses,
yeah, she does. She does. And she also had her first orientation for the new school she's going to be going in. So mm-hmm. my wife just took the whole day off, was going to go do all that kind of stuff. But she was still looking forward to having the day off and
right.
taking the girls and having a good time. I'm 5 minutes now. I've been talking about my home problems, but that's okay. It's our podcast.
Yeah.
I wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, and I can hear that it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see that it's raining outside.
Oh.
So I'm thinking it's the fish tank because I can hear the sound really good next to the fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the heater vent right there leading to the basement.
Uh-huh.
And I realize the fish tanks are fine. I'm hearing water run in the basement. So you know what I'm thinking.
One of your pipes broke.
One of my pipes that I just installed, I screwed up something and it broke. Why it took 2 days before it broke, I don't know, but it broke. And hopefully it hadn't been broke very long.
Yeah.
So I rushed downstairs to see a foot and a half of water all over my basement floor.
Ugh.
It wasn't the pipes that I just sweated in. It was a pipe that I had worked on maybe a year ago. You remember when I got my new hot water heater?
Yeah.
I had a broken pipe that I got this industrial strength nylon rubber tubing mm-hmm. that I connected these two pipes that I couldn't fix between.
Right.
It was supposed to be a temporary fix. I was always meaning to replace that entire pipe.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, it worked, and I forgot about it, to be honest. And how often do you sit there and look up above your water heater? You never
right.
do. So it just completely went out of my mind. It had come loose. And water was literally showering my basement. So all day, well, and if that wasn't bad enough, the water heater sits right next to our chimney.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
At the very base of the chimney is a steel plate that blocks it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so you can have access to it and clean it out occasionally, which
yep.
I've never done. It's something else that I've never really thought of. We don't have a fireplace, so I'm not going to clean my chimney.
Right.
I probably should have. Because that steel plate, the water pressure got so big, so strong in there, that it moved that entire steel plate out of the way. And all the debris that was in my chimney basically turned to this black muck of death and flooded my entire basement.
Oh, good Lord.
My basement, until right now even, looks like... You remember the victims of Katrina? You'd see their house and all that black gook?
Yeah.
That's what my basement looks like right now.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, dangerous or anything, but, mm-hmm. you know, I obviously have to get it out, otherwise it's going to cause mold and all that.
Right.
So that's what I've been doing for the last 7 days. That's why I did not prepare for the podcast at all today.
Mm-hmm.
The flooding in my basement killed the pilot light of my hot water heater. And I only got that working an hour before I came over here, so I had to take a pretty much a mostly cold shower to get here for the podcast. So, there it is. That was my last week. Isn't that just the week from hell?
That is the week from hell.
It's just amazing that I haven't slept into a coma yet. It's horrible. Well, let's get into some Mac news since I've spent, like, you know, the last 8 minutes and boring our listeners out of their mind about my dreary life.
Mm-hmm.
studio exec confirms iTunes movie plans. The CEO of Lionsgate Entertainment told analysts at the company's recent financial earnings conference call that Apple indeed has plans to offer movie on iTunes, reports Mac User UK. We also have digital delivery in place with Cinema Now, MovieLink, and iTunes, with upcoming announcements with at least two more major industry players, he told analysis at Film Magazine.
In terms of iTunes movie downloads, I think most likely sometime before the end of the year, added company president Steve Beeks. We know when they are planning on launching, but since they have not announced it publicly, I do not think it is our place to say anything more about that.
The story also notes that Apple plans on offering feature-length films on a rental basis, not for sale. Apple, of course, is not available for comment.
So you think we're looking at a Macworld Expo announcement?
He said by the end of the year, so that would tell me before, but who knows?
Yeah.
You know, with Apple, it could be almost anything.
Well, and we also have said that there's a good possibility that if there's a new video iPod coming out, it'll probably be just prior to Christmas.
They want to hit that Christmas season, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Report SanDisk drops price to take on the iPod. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, SanDisk is expected to announce a new digital music player products with price cuts a couple days ago. I don't know if it happened or not, because obviously I don't give a crap about SanDisk. In an effort to battle Apple's iPod supremacy.
Notes Reuters, SanDisk, which holds the second largest market share in digital music players behind Apple, plans to introduce a $250 MP3 player with 8 gig of storage capacity, notes the article. That is enough to hold about 2,000 songs, which is double the capacity of a similarly priced iPod Nano.
For right now.
Apple's best-selling digital music player, the report said. SanDisk also is cutting prices on their other music players by almost 30%.
8 gigs for $250? What are they, retarded?
Yeah.
I mean, for $300, you can get a full-size iPod with more storage space than that.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, by the way, works with the iTunes Music Store.
Yeah.
It's SanDisk is just clueless when it comes to battling Apple for supremacy.
Mm.
I mean, that's just crazy. And the last bit of news, Apple and Creative announced a broad settlement. Apple and Creative today announced a broad settlement ending all legal disputes between the two companies.
What do we got? Apple will pay Creative $100 million U.S. for a paid-up license to use Creative's recently awarded patent in all Apple products. Apple can recoup a portion of its payment if Creative is successful in licensing this patent to others.
In addition, the company has announced that Creative has joined Apple's Made for iPod program and will announce their own iPod accessories later this year. Creative is very fortunate to have been granted this early patent, said Steve Jobs. This settlement resolves all of our differences with Creative, including the five lawsuits currently pending between the companies, and removes the uncertainty and distraction of prolonged litigation.
Yep. We are very pleased to have reached an amicable settlement with Apple and to have opened up significant new opportunities for Creative, says Sim Wong Hu, chairman and CEO of Creative. Apple has built a huge ecosystem for its iPod, and with our upcoming participation in the Made for iPod program, we are very excited about this new market opportunity for our speaker systems, our just-introduced line of earphones and headphones, and our future family of X-Fi audio enhancement products. We expect that the one-time licensing payment of $100 million will contribute approximately 85 cents of earnings per share to our current quarter ending September 30th.
So the money's going to help Creative. They're pretty much at this point ceding the battle to Apple.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're going to now profit not just off this $100 million settlement. They're going to start making stuff for the iPod.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
They can't compete with Apple and their iPod with their own music players. So if you can't beat them,
join them.
And that's exactly what it looks like they're doing to me. So, you know, I got to say, I'm surprised that Creative went this route, but I'm also pleased because they at least had the business acumen to realize they're not going to be the number one digital music player.
Right.
I mean, they're not even number two right now.
That's SanDisk.
So, what do? Settle with Apple,
because
Apple was suing them too, remember?
Right.
And we talked about this on a couple podcasts ago. $100 million for Apple is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's secure. That's probably, 2 days' worth of iPod sales? I mean, really.
Practically.
On a worldwide basis, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah.
So Apple gets potentially damaging litigation off the docket. Because, let's be honest, if this would have went to court, they did have a patent. They could have really hurt Apple and the iPod sale.
Right.
They could have got, a judgment for 25% of all iPod sales profits over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have stung bad.
Yeah.
So $100 million from Apple is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, it's kind of ironic because isn't it $100 million that Microsoft invested in Apple in 1998 and everybody made a big deal that this is a huge deal for Apple? They're getting $100 million from Microsoft. Now, They're settling lawsuits on the side for $100 million, and it's not that big of a deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million.
Yep.
And yet they're still not advertising on this podcast. What's up with that? So, congratulations, Creative, in becoming a new Made for iPod partner.
Yep.
Let's take a look at the latest happenings up at MyMac.com while we got the chance here.
Yep, we've got a new article from Neil Monks, a PowerBook Retrospective Part 3, The PowerBook Ghost G3 and Beyond.
That was the Part 3. Part 1, 2, and 3 all together. Fantastic series of articles.
If you ever want to know the history of the iBook and
the PowerBooks
and the Mac laptops in general, it's a great series.
Neil is the man when it comes to the history of those machines. And, of course, Neil actually wrote Buying Used Mac, an e-book for us. Which, unfortunately, I haven't listed on the main page in too long. I need to do so. It's a little out of date at this point. But it's still a really good read, especially on the history of the Apple computers. Not the computer company itself, but the computers, Macs and stuff like that. John Nemirovsky's got a couple of really cool reviews right now. He reviews the E500 PTH sound isolating earphones, as well as iPlay Music's Beginning Guitar Lessons on DVD.
Yep. We've got a couple from Donnie Yankolo. McCauley External Lithium-Ion Battery for the iPod.
And I loved his latest Maxpiration number 48,
Avoiding the DSL Installation Disaster.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Very informative. And hopefully more people will contribute to that article. You know, if you're going to get DSL, that's kind of information I think most people really could use.
It really is. If you are going to get DSL, this is something you should be reading, because he provides a nice list of the kind of information you should ask for or have handy when you contact
prior
DSL folks.
And during installation. Yeah. Absolutely. My Mac Mini Podcast number 5 was posted on Monday, August 21st. That was I had probably the least amount to do with that show of any podcast that we've done so far, and it was great.
Yep.
Less me, the better.
We've got another book review by Bakari Shavnu. He reviews several Adobe InDesign books.
I review the aluminum V2 iPod case. Now, before we move on from that, and I also interviewed the FTP client InnerArchy, which I really love that program. But let's stop right there for a minute. The aluminum V2 iPod case from Pods Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 60 gigabyte iPod.
Yep.
They make this case, which this is my new favorite case, Chad. It's really, really, really nice. I like the feel of it. My iPod really feels protected in it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And it's going to be the measuring stick that all other iPod cases are going to be measured in my reviews from this point going forward.
Wow.
And that's saying something. That's saying something. When I gave it 4.5 out of 5. It wasn't perfect because a few FireWire disc cables wouldn't plug in all the way because where the hinge of this case is.
Yeah.
But now, is that a problem with the case, or is that some companies making the
different size cables
a little too thick when they shouldn't be? I'll let you decide that, but the one drawback was the Drive Plus Play from Harman Kardon that I use in my car. I can't use that cable because it's a little too thick, so I have to take my iPod out of this case to use it. And I don't really like that. But regardless, I really like the aluminum V2. I thought it was a fantastic iPod case, and I recommend it to anybody that has an iPod 30 or... Well, they make them for a whole bunch of different ones, but the ones I looked at was for the 30 and the 60 gig, and since I have a 60 gig iPod, that's the one that I'm using. But they also sent me a 30 gig version of the case, and I can't use that. So I talked to them, and I said, well, I have this case that's not even open yet.
Mm-hmm.
Can we use this as a giveaway? That's one of the cases that we're going to give away at the Apple store on September 23rd, 1 month from now. And someone's going to get one for free.
Awesome.
They're only $30 for these cases, which is dirt cheap for the quality. I mean, Apple sells a $100 leather pouch.
Mm-hmm.
This is aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it. $30.
Yeah.
How do you beat that?
Right.
You know, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it right now. It is the third-party developers that are making the iPod platform as popular and as successful as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Apple's doing a lot right with the iPod itself, but it's companies like this, Pods Plus, that are making these incredible iPod cases
that really contribute to the iPod culture and lifestyle.
And I love it. So we want to thank Small Dog Electronics for sponsoring our podcast, as well as Ramjet.com.
Also, we'd like to thank Innotech.com, who hosts our website.
Check out the show notes for links to all three of those companies. And how about we have a little conversation with Vern? It's not really going to be an interview. It kind of is, but it's more of a conversation.
Yeah, let's drop it in.
If you're a reader of the Mac Observer, then you know Vern Seward's work. And we've got him here on the MyMac.com podcast. How you doing, Vern?
Oh, not too bad at all. How about you?
Excellent.
So the first question we want to ask you is, are you a secret PC user? Or are you really a Mac user? That's what I want to know.
Okay. I do have an alter ego. My real job, I actually work during the day, and my real job, I work at a large Fortune 500 company, which shall go nameless, but yeah, I have to do PCs at work. They are adamant about not having Macs there.
Any chance you think of a large company nowadays switching to the Mac and using Boot Camp? I don't see it happening, but...
Actually, yeah, I think that's possible. Not necessarily Boot Camp, but Parallels. I think that's going to be the thing that gets Macs into the corporate server rooms and on corporate desktops.
Let's back up a little bit and give you a proper introduction. Most of our listeners are going to know you from the Mac Observer. How long have you been writing for the Mac Observer?
Oh, gosh. I guess about 5 years now.
Wow, really? That long?
Yeah. It doesn't seem that long to me either, but yeah, it's been about that long.
What do you like best about writing about the Mac and Apple?
Hey, that's a loaded question. Actually, it's not so much Mac and Apple, but technology in general. And Apple seems to be the focal point for PCs and design and how things are done in the PC world. And just because of that, they seem to draw people to them. And even though there's lots and lots of PCs out in the world, people still look at Mac and Apple as their design cues. And so I that's what makes it interesting to write about, and that's why I enjoyed. I wouldn't do this, say for instance, for PCs. In fact, I think it would be extremely boring.
We were talking earlier on the podcast, going over a couple of the news stories, and one of them that I found really interesting is Apple and Creative solved their lawsuit problem. What's your take on that?
It had to happen eventually. I mean, there had to be some resolution to that. So,
I think it's kind of ironic that Creative basically is coming out and saying they're going to support the iPod platform and come out with peripherals and that sort of thing for the iPod.
I love that. Again, it's something that pretty much had to happen. Creative was on its way out, I mean, on its last legs, if you will. The iPod is something that is a runaway freight train, basically, and there really wasn't much else that Creative could do.
What are you looking forward to most from Apple? If there's one product, everybody knows the speculation, iPhone, a consumer machine that sits in the living room and streams music and video, and what kind of product from Apple do you look forward to the most?
I don't care about consumer machines that sit in the living room. I mean, there's enough of those things out there, from Squeezebox and other players out there. I really don't. I mean, those are interesting boxes and interesting devices, but I think the next big thing is a new iPod, a new design on the iPod. The one that we have now is getting pretty long in the tooth, and so what I'm hoping to see is nice big screen to support nice video, something that kind of, I guess, is reminiscent of the PSP, you know, PlayStation Portable, with a nice wide screen, but obviously not a PlayStation Portable, but just totally dedicated to music and video.
So are we still looking at, say, palm print the same size as a cigarette, a pack of cigarettes?
Pretty much. That's what I'd like to see. And obviously with the same look and feel and ease of use that of current iPods, but with a bigger and better screen.
So what got you into writing about Macs at the Mac Observer to begin with?
I wrote a an article, an editorial piece, and about Macs. I don't even remember what it was about. And I was trying to find some place to get it published. And Brian Chafin was nice enough to publish it for me. And I asked again if he wanted something, and he said yes. And next thing I know, I was writing.
So what was your first Mac? What was it about the Mac that drew you, and why did you buy that first Mac?
Before I came to Macs, I was an Atari fan. I had just about every Atari ever made. And right before Atari folded, I had a STE and was thinking about getting their TT, which was their, I think their 16-bit or 32-bit, I'm forgetting now what it was. Anyway, it was their next generation Atari system. But then they folded. And no more hardware coming out of them, and so I was kind of like, I was a PC guy without a PC, you know. So looking at the Windows world, I just didn't like it. And Amiga was also on its last legs at the time, and so I just gravitated, I guess, towards the Mac. My first Mac was a 6100, and I bought it because of the graphics and some of the games. In fact, that's pretty much how I got into computers, was because of the games.
So what do you think of the status of gaming on the Mac right now?
It's actually getting better, especially now that they've gone to Intel. And I think that's got a lot of game-making companies psyched. And of course, with the ability of running Windows in parallel, or dual boot on Macs, game making companies have got to be psyched about selling more titles to hungry Mac users who wanting something screaming on their box.
Do you think, though, that the ability to dual boot is going to preclude a lot of companies not to make games for the Macintosh itself, thinking, well, if you want to run these games on your Macintosh, just get a copy of Windows and there you go?
There'll be some of that, I think. It would be very naive of us to think that that wouldn't happen. But I think the new Macs, the Intel Macs, are screamers in their own right, especially now with the Pro Macs coming out. And I mean, these boxes are absolute monsters. I mean, any game manufacturer who has one of these things for testing has got to be saying, yeah, we got to write something for these. These things are crazy. So there's bound to be a market for it. It would be a bigger market if, say, for instance, Apple came out with a medium-priced game machine, something dedicated to just gaming. You know, take out some of the hard drive bays and maybe put in a slot for maybe another graphic card so that you can have two screens. But if you had a dedicated game machine, that would really boost the gaming market on Macs. Not that I would see something like that happening, but it would definitely make game manufacturers take Apple more seriously.
So what's your all-time favorite Mac? If you can have any Macintosh out there, precluding the ones that we currently can buy, but historically, what would be the one Mac that you'd go, yep, that's my machine right there?
The Cube.
Why?
It just looks beautiful. I have one sitting on my desk right here, and I still use it, and it just is one handsome box. It hasn't been a Mac since, in my opinion, before or since, that looks better.
Now, we've had a couple of listener comments regarding the fact that there was no new industrial designs for the Mac Pros. Were you disappointed with the fact that they stuck with the same G5 box?
No, absolutely not. I think that's the best way to go. I mean, Apple's taking design cues from like Volkswagen, who's stuck with the same basic body style for the Golf, Rabbit, Golf. Or is that... No, that's the Rabbit Golf Rabbit. For the last, 10 years or so? 10, yeah. 15 years? Yeah. So, you know, what's outside, as long as you can get to the stuff inside, who cares? You know, as long as it looks good, if it works, then fine, go for it. But, you know, give us some meat, you know. And I think that's what Apple is doing.
Do you say that for all the products in Apple's stable or just the Mac Pro?
I think the pro user is less inclined to care about the aesthetics. It's got to look good, obviously, but I think the pro user is less inclined to care about aesthetics. The home user is, you know, he's got his nice mahogany desk, and he wants something sitting on top of it. It looks great, and I think the iMacs nowadays are ideal to sit there. So,
don't you think though it's time for a black iMac?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think that would be hot.
Yeah. Oh man,
or same even here. A deep red. Hmm. That would be cool too.
No, I'm not feeling the red, but the black definitely.
I would say not necessarily a red, but more of a just a really deep, not like a candy apple, more of
like a burgundy.
Yeah, like a burgundy Mac. Just man. Really a dark color. That's almost black if you look at it just right.
I'm still not feeling you on that one, but
I bought some nice burled oak Macs.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go that way, why not just, say, for instance, they come up with several different colors?
Well, they did that once. I mean, they had a polka-dotted Max. They had
Flower Power iMac.
Flower Power Max. Oh, gosh, you know, make me barf, you know. That's probably my least favorite iMac.
Well, aesthetically, I would agree with you, but you know, there are a lot of people who love those. I mean, you know, I've gone to a lot of clients' house, and they'll have one of those Flower Power Macs. And I'll say, oh, you got the Flower Power one, and they're very defensive. Yes, I did. I love that Mac. It's so cute. Of course, this is usually women,
right?
But that's a demographic that you just can't ignore when it comes to the Mac world.
Well, I mean,
world.
Obviously, with the sales of the pink
iPod Mini?
iPod Minis, thank you. The pink iPod Mini, I mean, that was a runaway bestseller, basically, I don't think a guy would be caught dead with a pink iPod Mini, but women loved it. My daughter, for instance, had to have a pink Mini.
You know, the Minis on eBay still sell like gangbusters. Yeah, they sell better than the newer iPods do.
I would think so, and it's because of the color. I was going to say that I think that probably the pink is probably the best seller. Is that not true? Do you know?
I think it is. At least as soon, from what I remember reading just recently within the last couple of weeks, pink iPod Minis are just flying off the virtual shelves at eBay. But do you think then that it might make a lot of sense for Apple to come out with nanos in different colors? I do. I would love to see the rainbow effect applied to the nano line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's obviously one of the ways, I shouldn't say obvious, but it is one way Apple could go. But on the other hand, the accessory makers have done a bang-up job in giving you color options for your Minis. And for your iPods, as a matter of fact, and for your Nanos, and for whatever else you may have, and like the skins that you can get for shuffles, those are absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, but there's still something about you buy the pink one or you buy the yellow one that people
like. I guess that's true. But for me, it's no big. As long as I got a black Nano, I'm a happy camper.
How many iPods do you own?
I just sold my 10 gig third generation, so I'm now back down to two.
Just two, huh?
Yeah, just two. I have a Nano and a 30 gig video.
Which iPod do you like the best?
It's a toss up. The Nano goes with me just about every place, and I absolutely love it. But I tell you, the video is coming on strong. I mean, I can download free videos from iTunes Music Store. I'm having a good time.
Do you actually watch a lot of videos on your iPod?
I never thought I would, but yes, I do. Especially since they're free. I don't buy videos, I have to say, but the free ones, yeah, give them to me. And what's nice about that is that now I can watch shows that I would never watch before.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you there. There was a called Psych. It's a USA Network show.
I saw this. It was absolutely funny.
They gave away the pilot episode.
Really?
And I'm with you. I never would have watched that. But yeah, I downloaded it, and I actually watched it on my iPod. I don't know about you, but I thought the show was great. I started TiVoing it.
Ah, there you go. And I'll tell you another show that was pretty good was Three Moons Over Milford. It was a family... I guess it's for ABC Family or one of those family-oriented channels. again, something I would not have watched, but turned out to be pretty good.
Don't you think that, I'm not talking about Hollywood, but I'm talking about the television studios. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, I don't know if you consider that Hollywood or not. I don't. I think
no,
it's,
I don't.
But I don't know what the terminology would be. The
networks?
The networks. But the networks encompassing everybody, including HBO and USA and, you know, mm-hmm. all of them.
Right.
Don't you
right.
think it's in their best interest to give as much free content away in the iTunes Music Store or YouTube to generate grassroots viewership? Don't you think that Absolutely. This is ideal technology for that?
Absolutely. I think that's... And between you and me and the other folks out here, I think that's going to be coming. I think it's the biggest thing that I think is going to happen to the iPod is free stuff. Just absolutely free stuff coming down from the iTunes Music Store to a video iPod near you. I think that's the best way to go. Do you remember, did you ever watch Firefly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I have to believe that Firefly would be still running if this was a way of offering a session or two.
Do you think, though, if they gave away, say, 10 episodes free of charge on the iTunes Music Store right now, do you think there'd be a big enough groundswell of new user or new viewers to bring that show back?
Free?
Why not? They sell the DVDs, you give away 10 free episodes. That's going to cause a lot of people to go out there and buy the DVD box set of of two seasons.
Well, but there's only like 14 episodes, so.
Oh yeah, I guess there was. So we'll say six.
Two.
Okay.
Two.
Two.
Four. Well, deal.
I say if they did the first episode, which is actually about an hour long, like pretty much like they're doing the premieres now. If they did the premiere episode, gave away the premiere episode, and then I think they have more people buying and watching Firefly and possibly Serenity, for that matter, which was the follow-on movie to Firefly.
Do you think that, first, if it's a show you like, do you think it's worth $2 to buy it in the iTunes Music Store?
I guess it really depends on the situation, on how I watch. Right now, I don't have a lot of time to watch. My job is like maybe 5 minutes away, so I don't do a lot of commuting. But if I did, if I was a person on the subway, if I had carpooling, if I was carpooling in the morning and things like that, definitely. And there's a lot of people out here that do that. So $2 for episode or two, sure, why not?
When you say out there, where are you located?
No, I'm in Florida.
Oh, in Florida. Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking you were in Minnesota or somewhere like that.
I don't know. It must be the cows you hear in the background.
Yeah, that might be it. What if the episodes were free in the iTunes Music Store, but they had all the commercials, and you couldn't, skip them forward or anything?
I think that's coming also.
I do too.
Unfortunately, but I think that's just the nature of the beast. I think that's one way for free episodes for the companies who make these episodes to keep it viable and.
Nobody likes the ads, but let's be honest, these shows, some of them, Stargate and those kind of shows, are quite expensive to produce.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't mind watching, even if I don't have the ability to fast forward, I don't mind watching commercials knowing that I'm getting to watch this show for free because of those ads.
Yeah. And truth be told, they are actually getting clever with these commercials. Some of these commercials that they're coming out with are actually pretty funny. So, I mean, just regular ones on prime time. For instance, even Apple's commercials, PC versus Mac commercials are great.
Oh, yeah, they're funny. Mm-hmm. I think humor is really the way to go in advertising. But if everybody was funny, then nobody would be.
Exactly. Oh, that sounds like a line from The Incredibles.
Yeah.
I think they said special.
Yeah, well,
if everybody's
isn't that
special,
the same thing? Okay, you took out a word and dropped in another one.
That's right. Changing verbs around,
Yes.
But
thus Tim Robertson's evil plan for America has been revealed.
I subscribe to X Plays podcast. It's a video podcast in iTunes Music Store, and they just do It's basically they take their television show and they break it up into like 5 segments and they release it in iTunes. Mm-hmm. And you could download it for free. And you get to watch one, you know, it could be a little funny clip or it could be a video game review. And I'm usually like 4 or 5 weeks behind, and then I'll watch a marathon of them and kind of get caught up. But for a while, they started putting in actual commercials. And they were putting in, what was it, Fruitise hair?
No, the hair, Fruitise, the hair stuff? Yeah,
yeah, and I'm thinking, why are you showing me a hair shampoo commercial on a video game show? Don't they understand demographics? I mean, you know, it's going to be a bunch of guys sitting around that doesn't give a... They use VO5, the 99-cent shampoo. They don't care about nutrients, and it smells like Hawaii. They don't care about that.
And they don't go out in public for anybody to care eat anyway. No. So, yeah.
This is very true, yeah.
It's a guy sitting there watching it on his iPod, staining his shirt with Cheeto smears. I mean... Come on, Fruitise. Give me a break. And if, you know how that commercial... Woohoo!
Yeah, I know the one.
I hate that commercial. And they put it on before the actual podcast, so you're pretty much forced to watch it. And if you try to skip past it, you always screw up, and it goes way forward, or the iPod kind of hangs for a minute before anything happens. So you're pretty much like, oh, crap, I'm just going to have to watch this 15-second woohoo commercial. And, of course, if any of your buddies walk by, they're like, what the hell are you watching? But I see that as a way to get content to people and for the content providers to be paid. Because they can't just give it away for free, obviously. Yeah. We don't give away this podcast for free, technically. I mean, the people that download it, obviously, they don't have to pay anything. But we do have sponsors. We, in fact, for this podcast, we have 3 sponsors. Mm-hmm. They don't get to become a sponsor out of the kindness of our heart. They pay to be a sponsor of this show. And we could probably have more if I wasn't so lazy and I sucked at sales. But we can put an... If anybody out there is good at sales, contact Tim at mymac.com for a 35% commission on all sales.
I'll save that for outside the interview.
Okay. So, looking ahead, where do you see Apple 5 years from now? Pretty much on the same... what they're doing right now? Or do you think it's going to be more of a... electronics company rather than a computer company?
You know, that's really kind of hard to say because, excuse me, they seem to be getting into all sorts of things. And, I mean, obviously with iTunes and iTunes Music Store and the videos that they're now offering and the impending update to the iPod, which I gotta believe is gonna happen, that's technology that I think is going to lead them into new areas that I don't know. As far as things like a phone, though I can see it happening, I don't think it's something that at least the service, I don't think it's something that Apple is going to provide. So I think they're still going to be a computer company with devices that connect and attach to the computer, but. That's got to be a very large playground for them to roam in. So I think that's where they probably be pulling their profits in for the next 5 to 10 years.
Don't you think, though, that they could make the iPod with video with phone capabilities?
Oh, sure.
That if your carrier supports it, you can use your iPod as a telephone.
I mean, would people buy it? And that's the thing. Just because it has the iPod name on it, it doesn't...
But it would be an iPod. I mean, it's not like a separate product. It would be the iPod.
Would it actually be an iPod, though? I mean,
what's an iPod?
Steve Jobs has said that it's about the music, and so that's fundamental.
But he also said nobody wants to watch videos on a tiny little screen.
Well, he made the screen bigger.
Well, not significantly so, though. It's still a tiny little screen.
Well, true, but I think it's been proven that a small screen is better. It's better than, say, for instance, dragging around one of these big DVD players and
oh, sure.
Watching. So, there are a few, a handful of people. I shouldn't say a handful, but a subset of iPod users who really could use video on their iPod, and those are the people that he's catering to. But as a honest to goodness video device. Say, for instance, I take my iPod, download the latest version of, I mean, the latest episode of Blade, the series, and walk over to my widescreen TV and slide my iPod into it. I don't think that's going to happen. I think ultimately it's still about the music, and I think as long as Apple sticks with that, I think they're going to be successful. Now, I mean, other people have come out with these multiple devices. I mean, you look at the phones now, you see, you know, you can get TV shows on your phone, you can get weather and, you know, live updates and this, that. It's gimmicky, I think. And
yeah,
I
but isn't that more of a state that these companies really don't know how to implement it correctly than otherwise? I mean, a lot of this, just give me a phone that I can actually talk to somebody that doesn't lose the connection. They don't update their infrastructure. They just slap on more half-thought-out ideas. Video games on here, it's kind of a PDA, it's, you know, that sort of thing, rather than actually innovating. Whereas, well, Apple, if they came out with something, you know for a fact it would be very innovative. Because Apple wasn't the first one to come out with a music player.
True.
Even a digital one. So what was the difference between what they did and what Rio did? Mm-hmm. I mean,
but look at the infrastructure that you're talking about. You're talking about the phone system, the cell phone system here in the United States, which even though Singular, or I shouldn't maybe say Singular, but even though some companies claim that they get the fewest drop calls still drop, and that reduces the experience, the quality of the experience for the end user. If I'm sitting there watching something, and I go in a tunnel and it drops, I'm in a dull spot, and all of a sudden it starts breaking up, then I'm not going to blame the phone company. I'm going to start blaming Apple, and it makes Apple look good. Does not make Apple look good. Makes the iPod looks bad, and you know, it just diminishes the name and dilutes the product. I think if we had a very solid infrastructure, somehow, I don't know what that infrastructure would be, but it's not our current cell phone system. And maybe if we were over Japan, where, you know, you can get a decent signal in the bowels of some building that's like 20 stories underground, then maybe, but not here and not now. And I don't. Maybe in 5 years that's possible, but I don't see that happening.
You talked about games earlier. Do you play games a lot on the Mac, or do you play a lot of console games?
Had a console game. I didn't really. I played with my daughter. She was big into games, and she since moved out. So I am now console gameless. I did play games on my Mac, but I don't have time to do that anymore. So and I miss it. One of the things I love to play was BZ Flag. I'm not sure if you are familiar with that. That's an open source tank game.
Nope, never played it. Pretty good.
Oh gosh, yeah. Big fun. Huge fun. So, in fact, after I'm finished talking to you guys, I think I'm going to go play a game.
I'm a Xbox 360 person lately.
Okay.
Looking at Apple, what would be one thing that you would add to the Macintosh if you had the opportunity? If you could sit down with Steve Jobs and said, this is what the Mac needs, what is that one thing? Or is there?
Yeah, I think it would be
condiment dispenser, right?
That would be about it, yeah. Something to nuke your hot dogs while
that's
you're
right.
There,
right? Yeah, yeah.
An eye mustard dispenser.
Eye mustard.
No, I think it would be a really good remote desktop application, something like VNC or like the Apple remote desktop, but every Mac can do it from Mac to Mac.
Well, isn't that what iChat's going to do, the next version?
Not quite. What I'm saying is I want to be able to see my desktop when I log in. If I log into my local box, I should be able to log into your box and see a desktop, say, for instance, if you're not on. Hello?
Yep, we're still here.
Oh, we're still here.
Okay, you got quiet. Maybe.
Yes, you made our brains work a little harder than we're used to right there. And we can only hand out so many tasks at once. It started short-circuiting.
Are you familiar with Windows Remote Desktop?
Yep.
Okay, that for the Mac.
Mm. Be interesting. If it was done with Apple's Flair.
This is what I'm saying.
Yep,
this is
I
what
agree.
I'm saying. It's got to be done with Apple's Flair, or else it's not worth it.
So I asked this question of our last guest, and I kind of like this question because it makes people think. You can go back to your college years self, but you could take one piece of technology with you to show yourself back then. What would it be?
iPad Nano.
Why?
It is just so small and so cool.
Do you think your college age self would actually get it, though?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, back then, well, I'm not going to tell you how far.
He'd be out getting a patent, and you'd be rich right now.
There you go. Okay, yeah. I would supplant Gates as far as being rich. He'd be groveling at my feet. But no, that would be. I was really big into music back then, and I was a big geek as far as technology went. I bought like the first Sony Walkman, and. I thought that was the coolest thing. Hated 8-tracks, knew they weren't going to hang around. But I guess I am dating myself, aren't I?
No, because I was the same way. I hated the 8-track player that my parents had, and I refused. Although I really liked the reel-to-reel, but it was the Walkman that got me.
Yeah. That exactly. And I thought it was the best thing in the world. I mean, I make my own tapes and Vern's jams, you know, and that was the coolest thing. And then, of course, that's what Apple keyed the iPod off of. I mean, the ability to make your own. You remember the commercials where they had, you know, Moby and all these other guys,
yeah.
And right,
mm-hmm.
You can sit there and make your own. Well, that's basically what sold the iPod. You can make your own playlists, and I thought that was.
Didn't the iPod, though, it and the whole digital music thing, isn't that kind of killing the entire counterculture, subculture of the mixtape? Because I used to make mixtapes for everybody. I had more music than all my friends put together. So they'd always call me up, hey, dude, can you make us a mixtape? And I always called them Bobs, which was a bunch of bull fill in the blank. So it'd be Bob 1, Bob 2. And they knew how many I had.
You did that too. Mine was Burn 1, Burn 2.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. They were fantastic.
Yeah, they were great.
And you couldn't use. Really good mixes, you could only use the 90 minute tapes because the 120 snapped way too easy.
Yes. Yeah, they stretched or did something really strange. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So I'm dating myself as well.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It no longer is that. You know,
playlists just don't cut it to me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It has a lack of intimacy and detail that you could put into a mixtape.
Right. Well, I guess that's one of the reasons why the some of the musicians, these holdouts that are in the news nowadays for not signing up to iTunes Music Store. I think that's one of the things that they're claiming is that selling songs one by one diminishes the integrity of the album.
Yeah.
And I have to agree. I bought albums because the album sounded great. I love how one song moved from the songs moved from one to the other, and they kind of led into each other. There were albums back in the 70s and 80s which told the story. The whole album told the story.
Yeah, but there's only so many Tommies or concept albums like that. You'd get two or three songs, and the rest would be filler because the artists were under so much pressure to come out and hit this release date so they can hit the holidays or they can hit the summer.
Some of that's true, I have to agree, but there were some cuts on the albums that I liked a lot better than the so-called hits. And I would have never gotten into those if I only bought the hits, what was popular. And there are some albums that I have, especially the vinyl, which I still have, which if you don't listen to the whole album, even the fillers, the so-called fillers, you really don't get the album. And
Dark Side of the Moon, sure.
Yeah. So it's I agree with these guys that say that the in fact when the iPod first came out and not the iPod but iTunes Music Store and they were going to sell them one by one, I had written one or two articles that said, no, I can't see buying one song at a time, you're ruining the experience of the album. And
but doesn't this go towards what music was originally when it first became a big pop culture thing, the 45? I mean, the single was what built
the
music
business. Back to the early
days of
radio, yeah. Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, so this is more towards the 40s and 50s music scene than it is the 70s, 80s, and part of the 90s.
Well, that's true, and if we come up with a way of allowing people to
experience it. No, that was me. I'm shifting my big fat butt in the chair.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was... excuse me.
See, I look at it like this. To me, the
no,
artist...
No, I'm getting a lot of static here. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
A lot of static. Wow.
Can you still hear us?
Barely. It's really bad.
Uh-oh. We might
you
just
guys
be losing you. No, we're here.
You
you're
guys
fine.
You don't hear it?
No, no, not at all.
Sound great.
And you sound
right.
Great.
Huh, okay. Well, I'll just put up with it then.
Okay.
What was I saying? I don't even know.
Well, I was going to say, don't you think, though, that if artists truly embrace the new technology, this gives them much more and much greater creative control over their music than the one new album every 18 to 24 months?
Well, I mean, I guess they have to think about what they're producing in a different way, and I guess that's always going to be good. And so the single maybe won't be a single as we think of a single today. Maybe now it's a track that's 12 minutes long, say, for instance.
Right, it could be one sound file that's three songs that you gotta have. Listen,
exactly.
You gotta listen to them all together.
Exactly. If I don't know if you guys know of artist Mike Oldfield, back in the 70s, was real popular. Did Tubular Bells,
yep.
Which wound up being the soundtrack for what's that?
The Exorcist.
The yep. Exorcist. Thank you. He does a lot of that. He pioneered. Well, I shouldn't say pioneered, but he did a lot of these 12 to 18 minute single tracks, these single songs or single. Bits of single conglomeration of music, if you will, and you can buy that one track still for 99 cents mm-hmm. if you want to, but 18 minutes of it, and maybe that's the way I think other folks will go. You know, if they want to have a concept album, if you will, maybe the concept will fit into a 12 to 14 minute window instead of a bunch of 3 minute windows. You know?
Interesting. We've been talking to Vern. You can read his latest over at the Mac Observer. And we appreciate you coming on the show today, Vern.
Yeah, thanks,
Vern.
My
absolute pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
And that wraps up another edition of the MyMac.com podcast. We will not be back next week.
No, we are taking a week off, and we will be back on September 6th.
Of course, next week you will be able to hear the My Mac Mini Podcast number 6.
Yep.
So make sure you tune in for that. Thanks, everybody. Let's hear some funny stuff as we get out of here.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Shit, are you kidding?
As if we care.
Kimber!
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.